somebody out there who's got a loud voice, will you tell us what the third step is in the 12 steps? Thank you, Dwayne. Will you tell us again, man, real loud? There you go. So made a decision, right, to surrender, right? So if you've worked the steps, you may have gotten to step three. No longer, no matter how long you've been walking around on earth, what else you've done, I don't think any of us have outgrown what we can get to through surrender unto Jesus. Like, no matter where you came into the room today, you can grow in your ability to trust Jesus enough to hand over your life to Him. Right? So that's what we're going to be getting at today. We're going to start with this quote from John Ortberg about surrender. He says, the more we depend on God, the more independent we are in our lives. So most of us think, like, well, if I do it God's way, I have to give up control, right? I have to give up freedom. I just want God to help a little bit with these problems, and then I want to snap the wheel back, right? But John's saying that the more we grow in this ability of I'm not okay without God and I'm going to do it God's way, the more independent we are. And what does that mean? Well, he goes on to say, the more we depend on God, the less we depend on. And he gives us this list. I think this is a good place for us to start. He says, the more we depend on God, the less we have to depend on money for our security. Think back to your own anxiety last 24 hours, last month. The less we have to depend on money for our security. The more we depend on God, the less we have to depend on our attractiveness for our worth. I've never really struggled with that one. I've just maybe not had always the best self-image, but I've never been dependent on that. But some of us, right, that were maybe born more attractive, maybe that's your struggle, right? The less we have to depend on other people's approval for our confidence. That one hit me when I was reading it, right? The more we depend on God, the less we have to depend on our children's decisions for our sense of well-being. The more we depend on God, the less we have to depend on our marital status or our vocational achievements for our sense of identity. The more we depend on God, the less we have to depend on our health to avoid worrying about dying. The more we depend on God, the less we have to depend on our circumstances for our sense of peace. My hope is, after hearing that list, you realize, like, there's some growth I could do. And we're going to look at a story in John the Baptist. We're in this series right now looking at John the Baptist. His mission, his calling was to prepare people for Jesus. And we're gearing up for Christmas, this time when hopefully we're putting our heart on Jesus and that he came for us. But how do we get ready for that? And when we were looking at Jesus today, at John the Baptist today and then Jesus, in John we see when someone lives with a lifestyle of surrender to God and to God's will, what does that produce inside of them? How do they act? How do they respond to problems? And you can look at it real negatively about, like, ooh, I got a lot to work on and feel bad about yourself. Or you could realize if somebody gives themselves to God, God works this sort of stuff in you. You don't have to fix yourself, right? Like, Jesus is faithful to purify us if we'll show up and do it his way. If we bring surrender, he'll make us into the sort of person John is and even beyond that, right? But we're going to see John handle a situation today. So if you got a Bible with you, please turn in John chapter 3. And if you don't have a Bible, please take a Bible if it's around you, right? And just, it's now yours. Merry Christmas from Maywood. But John chapter 3, we're going to be in verse 22. Don't be afraid to use the table of contents right in the beginning. And then the chapters are the big numbers, verses are the little numbers. So we're going to start John chapter 3, starting in verse 22. And this is a scene where Jesus and his disciples start baptizing people. John the Baptist and his disciples have already been at it for a while, and they're in the same area. And then there's going to be a problem, right? Just because Jesus is around doesn't mean there's no problems. It's just, it can go differently when Jesus is around, right? So we're going to start in verse 22. It says, after this, Jesus and his disciples went out into the Judean countryside where Jesus spent some time with them and baptized. Verse 23. Now John also was baptizing at Aenon near Salem, because there was plenty of water, and people were coming and being baptized, right? So there's people ready to say, I need a change. I need a new life, right? So that's happening. Verse 24, this was before John was put in prison. If you know John's story, he spoke up against a governing official that was doing something wrong. He got put in prison for it, eventually gets beheaded, right? John has a rough life. Just because he's obedient to God doesn't mean there's no roughness in his life, right? But let's go on a little further, verse 25. An argument developed between some of John's disciples and a certain Jew over the matter of ceremonial washing. Now, real quick, this gets mentioned, and then there's no other talk about this argument because the argument doesn't really matter. But sometimes people get in an argument about who's right, and then suddenly there's a question about who's in charge or who's important. Sometimes we use arguments and they boil down to who's really in charge or who's important. And John's disciples come to John not with an issue about washing, but with an issue about, aren't you important and aren't we important kind of because we're your disciples? Here's what happens in verse 26. They came to John and said to him, Rabbi, which that means like teacher, Rabbi, that man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, talking about Jesus, the one you testified about, which if you haven't been here for some of that, John says, like, look, the Lamb of God. He's going to take away the sins of the world. I'm not worthy to untie that guy's sandals. Like, John says something incredible, right? So they heard that. They know who Jesus is. But they say, look, Jesus is baptizing and everyone's going over to him. Look, we're not as popular as we were. We don't seem like as big a deal. Now when people argue with us, it's not going as well. Like, this is a problem that we're not as big of a deal. Now, before you're like, okay, whatever, like, this doesn't relate to me, depending on how you're doing on surrender, my guess is little problems in your life can start to pierce at your pride or pierce at, like, a how important am I? But John, who is somebody who really surrendered to God, he's going to have a pretty incredible response. We're going to pause four or five things he says and just like let them soak in, right? So here's how John responds to this issue of like, you're not as popular. Verse 27. Oh. Yeah, so maybe do my verses jump around a little bit? Hang on. I think I got the verses written down wrong. This is why it's good to have it right in front of you, because this is verse 27. I think I just wrote it wrong. Sorry. So it's a good example that your pastor's not perfect, right? Just living in live, right? So verse 27 says, to this John replied, a person can receive only what is given them from heaven. And we're pause there for a second. Imagine whatever you were stressed out about this last week, if deep in your heart you believed this statement. Not, I got to rush and get mine, and I got to take care of my future, and I got to make sure everybody gives me enough respect. What if you said, I've only got the stuff that God's given me? This idea of I've got it, thank you, Jesus. If I don't have it, Jesus must have had some other plan. Imagine how much peace comes if that attitude is really in your heart. Like the last time you got worried because your pride was injured, this wasn't in your heart. I'm just going to guess, right? Like you were thinking you needed more respect or more power or something. But John's saying, I'm as popular as I need to be, no matter how popular I am. Like whatever's given to me, it's what God's let me have. I'm not worried about having more. So already we see like that surrender John has led to a lot of serenity, right? Surrender and that serenity prayer. But here, this is like serenity in motion, right? So verse 28, which I'm going to lean back over here, says, you yourselves can testify that I said, and what does he say? I am not the Messiah, but I'm sent ahead of him. So the Messiah means like Savior and King. And for a lot of us, we also don't have this totally planted in our heart. That we're not the big deal, that we're not the queen or king of everything, that we're, yeah, someone's like, oh, it's the news, right? And that we're not the savior of everything either, right? But Jesus, John is like, you guys have already heard me talk this way, but now I'm going to act this way. Jesus is the big deal, not me. Again, a lot of your inside condition that's off, it's because you've not surrendered enough to get to this truth deep in your heart. Jesus is the King. Jesus is the Savior. It's not that you don't have any problems, but your problems look different when that's deep inside of you. Jesus is the King. Jesus is the Savior. Verse 29, he's going to use an analogy here. He says, the bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. Now, what he's talking about here, John the Baptist is basically, in our terminology, saying, I'm like the best man at a wedding. I'm not the groom. Jesus is the groom. And all these people are the bride for Jesus, right? And like, I'm here to help Jesus and to celebrate Jesus. I'm not here to be the center. I've been to a bunch of weddings as a pastor. I've never seen the best man like try to like steal the show, right? It's just, the best man can be goofy or something. The worst they could do is like forget the ring or something, right? Like they normally have a pretty easy time like showing up and being happy for the couple. And John's saying, I'm not supposed to be the superstar. I'm here to stand off to the side and do my little part for this big, great thing that's happening. And I'm not worried about how I look. I'm excited about Jesus and about people coming to Jesus. Again, think about whatever has been stressing you out or worrying you. Could you have chosen to have joy instead about the possibility that somebody else is getting closer to Jesus or somebody else has a fresh chance with Jesus? The next part of this verse, beautiful, it says, that joy is mine and it is now complete. I've heard people talk about like we really understand our life like in the rearview mirror or when you look back. John has the ability to understand the moment when it's happening. He enjoys the moment when it's there. He's not like, oh man, I wish my kids were 10 again. Or oh man, I wish I was in high school again. Or what? He's able to enjoy what's important in the moment. He sees Jesus and he has joy. A lot of us let the stress and the problems, the little argument that hurts our pride, steal our joy. But John's able to see, like, look at Jesus. And he has all this joy because what Jesus is doing. Verse 30, this is the last thing John's going to say today. John says, Jesus must become greater. I must become less. When we go through life, there's these different stages in life, right? But if you get to live long enough in life, you go to a spot where you're physically less strong. And even at some point, like, your mind is not as sharp as it was at some earlier point, right? If you get to go to old age, like, which we're not going to put exact titles on that to not offend anybody, right? But if you get to go to old age, you have this trajectory where you experience some physical limitations and the physical limitations start to grow on you, right? I think at that point in your life, God has given you a chance for this spiritual condition that's so healthy. He's starting to make your physical body experience that weakening. Our time on earth is not going to last forever. We don't need to build something for ourselves that's going to last forever on earth externally. It's about our inside condition becoming like this. Of like, I want more and more of Jesus. I want Jesus to be greater and greater and greater. And whether I get stronger or weaker, I want Jesus stronger and greater in other people's lives. So when you see somebody able to hand off leadership like Coach Bob did here at Maywood, right? Able to hand off things and not hold on to them tight, but just want to see greater things in the future. Like, that's somebody who's surrendered to Jesus, right? It's not about them. It's not about them being the superstar, right? It's about Jesus being the groom, right? Jesus being center stage, right? So we got to this spot. We heard a lot from John the Baptist, who's amazing, but we're going to shift gears because John, who wrote this gospel, is going to talk to us about Jesus himself. And for some of you in the room, you're like, oh, I've heard this stuff about Jesus before. And some of you are like, I've got some problems and I need some help. I want to hear about Jesus. Well, I want to give us a quick little primer before we read what we're about to read. So this pitcher of coffee, kind of a random thing, and then the coffee like ground up. And my wife just got me some really fancy coffee. It's nice. And so when I grind it up, I smell it. And then a little bit later, I drink it, right? And something I will tell you about, like, even if I just took like Folger's coffee and paid attention and like smelled it first and then drank it, I think I would enjoy it more. There's something about just slowing down and realizing like this is a thing and I'm going to pay attention to it, that you get a deeper satisfaction, you get a deeper connection. Some of us have heard about Jesus and how he's the Savior and how he's so good, and we've just like chugged it and moved on. I want to encourage you as we read this to kind of like let the aroma of who Jesus is hit you and pay attention to who Jesus is. So I'm going to read these verses. I want you paying attention to like, this is real about Jesus. Whether you're a coffee person or not, like this is goodness that we're about to talk about. And we're going to have a chance to respond to Jesus here in just a minute. And it might be your response might be, I'm going to surrender to Jesus for the very first time. Or it might be, I'm going to surrender to Jesus again in a fresh way. Not to know him for the first time, but to just say, God, here's all my heart as best that I can give it to you in this moment. Okay? But we're going to surrender to this Jesus we're about to read about. Okay? Verse 31. It says, the one who comes from above is above all. Jesus isn't like any other podcaster or influencer or whoever you're listening to. It says, the one who is from the earth belongs to the earth and speaks as one from the earth. The one who comes from heaven is above all. Again, this one's just saying Jesus is better than anyone else you could follow, anyone else you can find, whether it's your parents or a teacher or somebody that has $1 billion, like they're not as put together as Jesus. Verse 32. Jesus testifies to what he has seen and heard, but no one accepts his testimony. Jesus has been around with God for all of eternity. Jesus participated in creation. Jesus knows exactly what heaven is like. When Jesus tells us things, it's true from experience. He didn't go sit in a classroom. He lived all this stuff. But in Jesus' day, most people did not accept Jesus. And in the world today, most people don't really accept Jesus. And when you read the Gospels, I think it's worth asking yourself, like, am I really accepting Jesus? Like the real Jesus? When he says something like, a man's life doesn't consist in an abundance of possessions, and challenges us to be rich towards God, and then you look at how you're living your life, like, have you accepted that testimony? That, like, your life's really not about getting a bunch of riches? Like, most people reject what Jesus talked to us about. Not everybody, though. Verse 33. Whoever has accepted Jesus and his testimony has certified that God is truthful. Jesus literally does speak for God. He represents God to us. He and the Father are perfectly united. He tells his disciples, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, right? Like when we get to know Jesus, we're getting to know God. Verse 34. For the one whom God has sent speaks the word of God, for God gives the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, without limit. God is not stingy, right? God wants to raise you up through the Holy Spirit. Verse 35. The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. What's the primary emotion that God feels towards Jesus is love. Primary emotion that God feels towards the world is love. That's why he sent Jesus to us, right? It's going to talk about wrath here in just a second, and we're not going to avoid it, right? Like we want to tell the whole truth. But I don't want you to miss that this first verse is saying, like, God's love for Jesus is why God put everything in his hands. And when you read the Gospels, you see like Jesus shows up in people's lives with an incredible amount of compassion. And if they'll come to him like kids come to somebody, like they're just going to be met with love, right? It's not that you have all your problems fixed. It's that if you'll come with the humility of, I need help, I want a connection, God will meet you right there. Okay? Verse 36. It's our last verse for this morning. It says, whoever believes the Son has what? Eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. What is that talking about? Well, if you read the whole of Gospel of John, you'll see that Jesus defines eternal life in chapter 17 as having a connection with Him and the Father like He has with God the Father. Jesus is inviting us into a relationship that will go beyond death. Relationship that will change everything about us, right? Like Jesus has life inside of Himself, and He wants to give you that life. Everything in Christianity is about opening up to that love and life that Jesus wants to give us. So we don't earn it. We ask for help, and Jesus starts the work of purifying us, right? We ask for forgiveness, and He starts to work on us and show us the right way to live. But if we push Jesus away, Jesus doesn't knock the door down, right? And the wrath of God is basically just that God lets you push Him away. If you've ever been around a real little kid with good parents, and then those parents turn their back on the kid, like it really affects a toddler to not be close to their parent because they need that love. We need our Creator and our Heavenly Father. His wrath is that He will let us stay in our own junk if we push Him away. And there's actually not a worse fate than that, of being stuck to yourself with less and less of Him. Even when we're just here on earth, we still have a lot of indirect blessings from God. Beautiful creation, healthy body, all the stuff He's put in our life, right? But you can keep pushing Him away, right? So what I want to ask of you guys today is like, is who wants to surrender to have that life? And if you're here and you're like, I've already accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I don't want you to do this next part. We're going to talk to you second. But if you're here today and you're like, there's not really been a time where I told Jesus, Jesus, I believe that You're the King and the Savior. I need Your help. Please forgive me, and I want a new life with You. If you've never had that experience with Jesus, I'm talking to you right now. Now, following Jesus takes courage, and so we're going to ask you right off the bat to do something courageous. I've got some folks that I talked to this morning that have these little pieces of paper with them. They want to talk to you about how to pray and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So if you're here today and you're like, I've not done that. I want to start a relationship with God. I need to be forgiven, and I want Jesus to live in my heart, and then I want you to stand up right now so somebody can go and pray with you. So go ahead and stand if you're in that spot. If you're like, I want to get started with Jesus. Praise God. Yeah. That's awesome. And so one of those ladies that I talked to, will you go and talk with both of these ladies? So we need probably a couple ladies. Yeah. Emily's coming up. Drop a microphone. Sorry, guys. Yeah. So Emily's going to take these ladies, and you guys can head across the hall if you want to, or another spot. Anybody else want to stand up? We're not going to ring this out for long. So this is your chance in this moment. Yeah, you can stand up, man, if you want to. Yeah. Praise God. Yes. So, do we have a guy that wants to go talk with this guy? Somebody I talked with this morning that's got one of those tracks? Yeah. Okay, head on back. Thank you, Phil. So we're closing out this moment, but if you're in the room today and you're like, oh wait, I missed it and I regret that, like, talk to somebody at Maywood and say, I want to accept Jesus. There's nothing magical about like, oh, it's got to be during a Jake sermon. The thing that matters is that you say to Jesus, I've messed up and I need Your help and I want to live my life with You. Okay, that's what matters. So everybody else in the room, I'm going to talk to us just a touch more about surrender, and I'm going to give us an example, because some of you are in the room right now and you're like, Jake, why didn't I get one of these sheets of paper? And you're offended. So here's what I'm going to give us an example of what to do. Is sometimes when we have a strong feeling, we can surrender that to God. And whether someone else has messed up or not, like maybe I made a mistake by not talking to you, if we will surrender our offense to Jesus, He can make something good out of it. So what I want you to do, if you were offended just now, I want you to tell Jesus, why didn't Jake choose me? I want a chance to talk to somebody about Jesus. And here's the deal. You can go from just being offended at some random guy to being on a mission with Jesus this week. Say, Jesus, who is my person to pray a prayer of salvation with? Because it's not about Jake handing you a sheet of paper. It's about Jesus commissioning you to go help somebody else have new life. And do you see how that works? We take an earthly feeling that's pretty gross and just destroys relationships, and we surrender it to Jesus. And we say, it's not about me, it's about you becoming greater, Jesus. And when we start looking at life that way, the Holy Spirit will start pushing us towards taking all the emotions we have, good, bad, ugly, and making them good. The output of our life will be good because it will be surrendered to Jesus. Satan meant to destroy Jesus on the cross. It became the gateway to life for us, right? Through resurrection. Satan's going to keep throwing inputs into your life that are meant to steal, kill, and destroy. You can surrender your offenses and your grumpiness and whatever. When you feel overwhelmed as a parent, you can pause for a second and get down and pray. And when your kid asks you, what are you doing? You can say, like, I couldn't handle that moment. I needed to pray. And like, that's really a good parenting moment, strangely enough. Like, you and your overwhelm just taught your kid like a way better skill than you having all the answers. Does that make sense? So like, just surrender the things that are going on in your life and say, Jesus, here it is. I must become less. You must become greater. If you're here today and you're like, Jake, I still want one of those sheets of paper. The paper's up here. We have a few of them left. It'll talk you through a little bit of how to say that sort of prayer with somebody. But again, surrender what you have to Jesus. Jesus is always ready to take, whether it's a mess or whether it's a good thing, to take it and to grow it into something good. So I want to pray a blessing over you guys if you bow your heads with me. Jesus, thank you for revealing God's love to us. Thank you for coming to earth. We celebrate that this week with Christmas. Jesus, I pray a blessing over every single one of us in this room that this week we would surrender to you and that it would bear fruit, that other people would have new life because of it. We need your Holy Spirit's help. Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen. Merry Christmas.